From time to time, we'll be sharing with you articles from the magazine Reaching Out, published by the Nebraska Department of Public Institutions. We thank Mr. Tom Broad, editor, for his kind permission in allowing us to reproduce this article for your enjoyment and information. The article is titled, What the Blind Really Need, and it was written by Carl Olson, who himself is sightless. One of the leaders of the organized blind movement is fond of saying, the real problem of blindness isn't the blindness itself. It's the lack of understanding and misconceptions which exist. Many people have trouble taking that statement seriously. They think blindness is a problem in itself, one of the worst fates which can befall a person. To say blindness isn't a problem strikes them as absurd. Many people also think of misconceptions they may be aware of, like the belief that the blind have a more acute sense of hearing or sense of touch than sighted people. They may think the blind are gifted broommakers and wicker weavers, or have a talent for music. Surely in these enlightened times, people don't really believe these stereotypes. Even if they did, how could that belief present problems for the blind? The problem with hanging stereotypes on any group of people, even seemingly innocent stereotypes, is that it keeps us from seeing members of that group as individual human beings. It sets them apart, and we see them as different from ourselves. Therefore, we treat them differently. These innocent misconceptions about the gifts of blind are not the ones referred to in the opening quote. The real problem of blindness results instead from those very misconceptions which lead people to believe that blindness itself is the big problem, those which lead to the belief that blindness is a tragedy. A misleading view. These less innocent misconceptions arise to a large degree from a misguided and oversimplified view of the nature of blindness. Most of us think we have a pretty good idea what it's like to be blind. After all, we suppose, being blind is simply being unable to see. We've been in many situations in which we were unable to see. We've been in the dark, for example, and most of us have taken part in those blindfold games kids play. We know how we function in these situations. We stumble and bumble and grope around. We trip over tables and knock over lamps. We imagine that's what it's like to be blind. Since darkness puts severe limits on the number of things we can do, we mistakenly assume blindness does the same. The view that being blind is like living in the dark is so common that it shows up in a number of laws concerning the rights of blind to move about in society. In an article in the California Law Review in 1966, Jacobus ten Broeck says, the early leading opinions dealing with the blind and the near blind are preoccupied with an analogy built on sighted persons' conceptions of blindness. Blindness is shutting off the vision as by a blindfold or of a perfectly dark night. This being so, and assuming the right of the blind to travel the streets at all, should not the law assimilate their daytime situation to that of seeing man at night? As ten Broeck points out in the same article, however, this blindness-darkness analogy is weak. It assumes the problems encountered by sighted people in the dark are the same as those which blind people experience full-time. The analogy overlooks the fact that with little training, blind people are able to develop skills and techniques which make it possible for them to perform without sight most tasks sighted people have to perform with sight. There are some things the blind cannot do. They cannot drive automobiles or perform brain surgery. The limitations of blindness, however, are far fewer than is commonly supposed. In the dark, the average competent blind person will have a distinct advantage over the sighted person. He has learned to cope with his situation. The sighted person has not. Helpless, incompetent. Despite its weakness, the blindness as darkness view persists. It is not surprising that many people mistakenly think of blindness as a tragedy and think of the blind as a helpless and incompetent lot who fall into ditches and run into trees. People don't often come right out and say blind people are helpless and incompetent. It is in rather poor taste to say discouraging things about the handicapped. Nevertheless, by their actions, people make it clear how they really feel. Behavior toward the blind varies among the different segments of society and in different situations, but the same lack of confidence in the abilities of the blind is usually apparent. Man on the street. People usually want to help the blind. The kind of help they offer, however, often is good evidence of this lack of confidence. Many people obviously believe, for example, that the blind can't cross streets, or board buses, or find the door out of the restaurant without help. When these people offer to help the blind, they do so with the best of intentions. Since it is difficult to reject unwanted help when it is offered out of kindness, many blind people have crossed streets they didn't want to cross, board buses they didn't want to board, and left restaurants before they were ready to leave. Civil rights. Airlines express the same lack of confidence by restricting the number of blind people who can fly on one plane and prohibiting blind passengers from sitting next to emergency exits. Insurance companies demonstrate their lack of confidence in the abilities of the blind by refusing to insure them or charging higher premiums. They justify this unequal treatment on the unwanted assumption that the blind are more prone to injury and that blind people require longer stays in the hospital to recover from illness and injury. Employers have shown lack of confidence by refusing to hire qualified blind people. Landlords display their lack of confidence by refusing to rent to blind people, apparently out of fear that a blind tenant would burn the place down or make a habit of falling down the stairs. Workers for the blind. The same notion of the helpless blind, along with a number of fallacies about the problems and the solutions of blindness, are apparent, where you least expect it, among individuals and organizations actively involved in work with the blind. The harm done by the misconceptions about blindness is perhaps greatest in this area. Among the public and private agencies, the foundations and the research institutes which are involved in the problems of blindness, that the blind should find the greatest understanding and the greatest potential for help in overcoming their difficulties. Instead, because of the mistaken notions about blindness which guide much of the work being done, the blind find great chunks of available resources, human and financial, public and private, are wasted. The longer this waste continues, the longer it will be before the real needs of the blind are met and the real problems solved. Improving the prospects. Time and money spent in dealing with the problems of blindness are aimed at one primary objective: to make it possible for the blind to take their places as productive members of society. There are many approaches to attain that objective. Some are useful and productive. Others are misguided and counterproductive. Gadgets. One way which many researchers have chosen to improve the ability of the blind to function in the world is to fix them up with all kinds of sophisticated electronic sensing devices so they can get around better. Huge sums of money are spent developing various contraptions which go by such impressive names as the bionic laser cane, the binaural sensory aid, and the sonar sensor. The cost of these devices is usually way out of proportion to their usefulness. The laser cane, for example, sells for about $2,000. The assumption which underlies the development of most of these devices is clear. Since the problem with blind people is that they can't see, the solution is to make it possible for them to see artificially, to give them some gadget which simulates sight as closely as possible. That's wrong. If a person is blind, he doesn't need a poor substitute for sight. He'll be much better off if he's able to function without sight. For that purpose, a $5 fiberglass cane is much more effective than a $2,000 laser cane. Counseling. Another way to improve the ability of the blind to function in a world is through counseling to help them deal with problems arising in their private lives, family problems, vocational problems because of blindness. Many professionals working with the blind apparently are under the impression that before you can counsel a blind person in any particular area, you need to carry out a study. The leisure activities of blind people are studied. Their dating habits and their sex lives are studied. Every aspect of private life of a blind person is laid open and dissected. The underlying assumption motivating all of these studies is obvious. Blind people essentially are different from other folks. They have differing needs and desires, differing psychological makeup. Unfortunately, blind people who come in contact with professionals who believe this are likely to think that way themselves. They may well end up with a pretty distorted picture of themselves. That's one drawback. Another is that all those studies cost money. Barrier-free architecture. There's been much talk recently about making buildings, streets, and other public facilities more accessible to the handicapped. Many architectural modifications are suggested to make it easier for the handicapped to move about in the community, to enter buildings and move about safely within them. Public transportation systems are being required to make some changes necessary to accommodate the handicapped. Since the blind are considered handicapped, the people involved in devising new building standards have spent time and money to determine what architectural modifications are required to accommodate the blind. Financed by a federal grant, a group in Vermont recently put together a book called Building Standards for the Handicapped. Among the 121 building standards listed, there are 48 standards which are regarded as either desirable or essential for the blind. We are told that on the streets, the blind need brakes in the curbs, apparently because they can't negotiate a curb without tripping over it. On public transportation, seat belts are essential for the blind. Apparently, they have a tendency to fall out of their seats if they're not strapped in. In swimming pools, ropes are required to keep the blind away from deep water. Evidently, they can't swim either. In restrooms, the hot and cold taps must have tactile markings. The blind apparently don't know their left hand from their right. The list goes on. While it is true that some of the standards listed may be of marginal value to the blind, most are trivial and useless. They show convincingly how little confidence the authors have in the abilities of the blind. The whole idea of modifying the physical environment to accommodate the blind is misguided. To be truly free, to move about in the community independently, the blind person must be able to cope with the world as it is, without relying on others to clear the path for him. By now, we hope it is clear what is meant by the claim that the real problem of blindness is not the blindness itself, but rather the misconceptions and lack of understanding which exist. The physical limitations of blindness can be overcome through proper training. Blind people can develop the skills and techniques needed to function independently and effectively. Countless competent and productive blind people have proven over the years that the blind are capable of taking their places as full and equal members of society. It is not blindness which is holding these people back. It is the fact that society, on the whole, has a misguided view of blindness. It is the fact that society overestimates the tragedy of blindness and underestimates the abilities of the blind. The mistaken notions about blindness have effectively limited the opportunities of the blind and deprived them of many of their civil rights. The solution to the major problem of blindness is not to be found in laser canes, in scholarly studies, or in architectural modifications. If all the resources spent in these frivolous endeavors were spent instead in the area of public education, in providing the public with the facts about blindness, the blind would stand to gain much more. Once we all have a proper understanding of blindness, we will surely be willing to accept the blind as equals.